attorney with Butler Snow in Birmingham. I mainly do cross-border international work. In 96, I worked for the Argentine Football Association, AFA, during the Olympics, because I had helped Coleman recruit AFA and the Argentine selection to stay in Coleman, because Birmingham was a venue for the Olympic football, and Argentina was a C team. So I helped Coleman recruit them. Coleman had a great idea of housing them at the monastery and the school in such a perfect location. They loved it. Coleman was fantastic with it. And ultimately, Argentina said, look, we really need somebody to help us. Can you be basically a team and federation liaison? You speak Spanish, you speak other languages, you kind of know the lay of the land. And so I ended up staying with them about 2.5 months and being everything from a press liaison to team liaison to helping travel to go, find hotels and other locations we'd stay in, work with the team. And during all of that, I met FIFA. I met, because FIFA runs, just like with international tournaments, soccer tournaments, football tournaments, FIFA runs everything in the Olympics. So the head of communications at FIFA, at the very last press conference after the final, when Argentina and Nigeria played in Athens, Georgia, and I was at the head table with the coach, Daniel Pasarela, and he came up and asked me, he said, I don't know you. He was an Englishman and the head of communications and media for FIFA based in Zurich. He said, do you work in football? I said, no, I'm from Alabama. Long story. I don't work in football. This has been kind of a fluke, but obviously I know who FIFA is because I loved football since I was a child, and I lived and worked abroad already quite a bit by that point, and so because I was polyglot. And he said, well, look, send me your CV. Send me your resume. Here's my card. So I sent it to him. I didn't hear anything for 6 months. Of course, this is already into 1997 at this point. And he calls me one morning on my cell phone at about 6:30 in the morning. I'm driving. I'm going out of town. He says, Michael, this is Keith Cooper from Zurich with FIFA. Wanted to ring you back. Would you be interested in working for FIFA? And, of course, I didn't hesitate 2 seconds. I would have sold my house and quit everything else and dropped it to go. And I said, yes, absolutely. So anyway, that's kind of how things happened. And from that point on, then I worked as a FIFA media officer for FIFA World Cup 98 in France, which was phenomenal. Then Olympics in Australia, Korea, Japan, Confederations Cup 2001, World Cup 2002, Confederations Cup Germany 2004, Women's World Cup 2003, FIFA World Cup Germany 2006, Under-17 World Cup in Canada. I was based in Montreal 2007. Stayed out for years because I'd gotten remarried and had kids. I was back in full-time practice as a lawyer, and I ended up, I did 2010 in South Africa, but it was my last event. I just, at that point, I could no longer maintain a law practice and have children and the rest and be gone, because it requires a lot of travel leading up to events. You're gone. It's like a nomadic lifestyle. So this is the first World Cup where I've actually been in the U.S. since 1994. 1986, I was living in Europe, watched the Cup. It was the World Cup in Mexico. 1990, I was living in Brazil. 1994, most people didn't follow the Cup, even though it was in the U.S. It was not like now. And this time, of course, I've been terribly unproductive during the month of June. I've gone to watch so many matches at venues in Birmingham, and I have been tremendously surprised and gratified and amazed by the level of support, not just for the U.S. team, but the level of interest in people that follow the only true world sport that unites the entire globe. And it's phenomenal. And I'm very impressed at the level of support and the level of knowledge. Of course, so many people play and people grow up. Some people play only football or soccer. And so it's been a real positive. I'm very impressed and very favorably surprised with all of the support. There's so many venues to watch matches in Birmingham. It's incredible. And some have just been absolute, an atmosphere that you would have never expected. So,
That's very cool. I've
watched many, many, many matches, and I live and die and breathe for football and for soccer. Yesterday, I talked to a lot of my Brazilian friends. I was actually had a business call this morning with Germany with an in-house lawyer on a matter I'm dealing with, and we spent the first 15 minutes talking about the match and then looking at, and then Argentina, Netherlands, and now talking about Sunday. So, I mean, it's the thing that brings you together. It's no matter what. And so it's phenomenal. And I think maybe for the first time, the U.S. is starting to realize what it means to be, for example, to advance in a World Cup and what the World Cup really is, because we don't have equivalent sports here. There's nothing that brings the whole country together. there's nothing else where your country competes. I mean, you have the Olympics, but it's not the same thing. And so it's unique. And I think for the first time, at least in my view, people here in Alabama, at least in Birmingham, have started to really get a sense of that. And I'm amazed at how many people that of an older generation even that I never would have thought would be interested are following and talk about it and just are really into it. And I think it's wonderful. And I'm very surprised. And I mean, Alabama is obviously people like sports. And we're used to having winning teams. And so, but people transfer that and people like underdogs, I think, and people like challenges. And so it's been really gratifying. But I hope to see this continue after the Cup, that people might continue to support. Of course, the World Cup is, you know, unique, but you do have a lot of other, you know, we have MLS teams, you have college teams, you have Euro and things coming up after. So, but it's been fantastic. And so, even though I've been nostalgic and really missed not being in the Cup and being part of that and running press events and being with the teams and the press and everything else, you know, being here with my family and then enjoying it with friends here locally, and it's been good. So
how did you become honorary consul general for Germany?
Well, I actually had served during the 90s as honorary consul of Brazil at the request of the Brazilian government, at the consulate in Atlanta, because I had so many ties with Brazil. And I had, in 2010, I had basically resigned from that. It was not as feasible for me. It was a more difficult situation and such. And so about a year after that, actually, Germany had approached me, the then consul general of Germany in Atlanta, Lutz Götz. He approached me and he said, our honorary consul in Germany is going to resign. He's going to retire, actually. He's done a good job, but we would like a German speaker. We prefer an attorney because of a lot of legal issues that come up. Somebody that has ties with Germany, already worked a lot with Germany. And would you be interested? And I thought about it. I said, you know, Germany is an incredibly important investing country in Alabama. We have fantastic ties, world leader in so many things, and I'd be honored. And so at that point, then I was appointed. You go through approval process at the German Foreign Office, you know, diplomatic corps basically side up to the parliament and even the president, and then the U.S. State Department approves you. And so luckily, for the second time, I was approved. And from that point forward, and so, you know, I have consular appointments for German nationals every week. A lot of people from Tuscaloosa, from suppliers, from Mercedes. So in both in terms of consular functions, things like consularized documents, assist nationals with legal issues, and then represent for business delegations and work with German companies. So it's a great role. And, of course, during the Cup, I have had a lot of events where we've gone with clients and friends and things and Alabama-Germany partnership. We organized events around Cup matches to watch because there's so many Germans who obviously are interested. So, you know, a Sunday, I think that Alabama, because we have such an important relationship with Germany, we've benefited so much from inward-bound investment. I think in Alabama, everybody should be supporting Germany over Argentina. So that's my suggestion.
Gotcha. I guess that brings me to my next question. I was wondering who you were going for. I mean, I guess you're the honorary consul general for Germany, so that makes sense. But you started by talking out about Argentina and then Brazil's, and of
right.
course you're an American, so your allegiances were very stretched thin, weren't they?
Yes. I've been torn a bit. I had a good relationship with Argentina, but you know, my first marriage, I was married to a Brazilian. I lived in Brazil. I worked in Brazil. I have strong personal ties. And so I really love Brazil. It's a wonderful country. I have strong personal ties with Germany as well and business ties. And so the match on Tuesday between Germany and Brazil was personally hard. So I thought Germany played very well, and it was so tragically difficult for Brazil. So you know, on one hand, I was in mourning for Brazil. At the same time, I was happy for Germany because Germany played well and Germany deserved the win. So, but on Sunday, it's clear. I mean, if Brazil went down to Germany, I certainly would like that to go back and say Brazil was beaten by the world champion. And I think Germany has played phenomenally well, played very clean, played very good football, and is a fun team to watch. And so I'm going to be supporting Germany for sure. And I really hope that Germany will win. And in Germany, as in so many places, the football team has a lot to do with national identity and national pride. So it's a real positive. And Germany's not been in a final since 1990. So you know, this is they've won three times, of course, before. So there's no question that I'll be supporting Germany over Argentina. I'm very glad that at least we have a European team and a South American team still in a cup that's on South American soil. Of course, it would have been great if it had been Brazil at home for the final, but that would be even more tragic to lose the final at home, I think. So, but you know, we had a German coach this time. The U.S. had a German coach, Jürgen Klinsmann, a national hero in Germany, married to an American, lives in Los Angeles. We had five German-born players on our team. So I think the relationship and the ties between the U.S. and Germany, Alabama and Germany, our national men's team in Germany are pretty incredible. We also had, by the way, Aaron Johansson, one player born in Mobile, Alabama, who was on the U.S. team.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I should have known that.
Yeah,
who was
that? Aaron Johansson.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a Swedish name. He was born in Mobile. But we had five German-born players who also live in Germany on the U.S. team and a German coach. And I think we learned a lot from German tactics and techniques. And so, of course, we're in the same group. You know, it's sort of uncanny in some ways, the relationship, the ties between the U.S. team and Germany for this cup, and then, of course, with Alabama. So but, it is such a truly global event that the whole world stops for. And to see this happen in the U.S., I think is really incredible. And we have other sports, and they're great sports, and it's great that we have so much support for them here. But it's also, I think, gratifying to see that for the first time in my lifetime that I can recall, to see here in Alabama so many people involved and engaged and participating in something that's truly a world sport, truly a global. It's not just a sport, it's an event, the biggest sporting event in the world.
And you know, one thing that struck me about watching the World Cup, because I haven't, I'm pretty new to soccer in general, but it seemed like you know, other than the whole biting incident, it seemed like everybody was very, very the sportsmanship was very strong, even in the Brazil game, which was as you mentioned, was probably very, very difficult for Brazil.
I think you're right. I agree. I mean, I think the biting incident was that's a little beyond the pale of anything. That was frankly bizarre. Does not happen very often. I don't recall it. Biting
except with him, apparently.
And professional. Yeah, that's unique to Luis Suarez, I think. But overall, I agree. The Brazil-Colombia match last week got a bit physical. I mean, it is a physical sport, but it has been pretty clean overall. And Argentina actually plays very professionally, very sportsmanlike. Brazil normally is very sportsmanlike. Germany has played very well. And it is, you know, the goal, FIFA's goal, when you have rules, things related to tackles and to the ball in contact, so that you're penalized if you do physically attack or have where you could take dangerous action. It's intended to let people score. It's been the highest number of goals scored in any cup, an incredibly dynamic cup. And I agree, sportsmanlike conduct. And what's so important, because every player, almost every player for any national team is a professional player. That's what they do for a living. So many play in Europe, in the UEFA, in the club teams that are, you know, incredibly well paid. And they're role models for children. You know, both my daughters play, my little daughters play. So many people, their children have been watching the cup. And so I'm very gratified to see that most of these players play very clean, very, very ethical play. It's fair play. And they're role models. And so they have a responsibility. And I think FIFA has always had a responsibility to do things like anti-smoking. Pro sport is a, you know, a peaceful way to bring people together. Education and also fair play is a big concept. And in anti-racism. And so FIFA has – people can – there's detractors for FIFA and for the cup, and yes, it's expensive for the host country. But, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing is what takes place on the field of play, on the pitch. Players with the ball, something you can love your whole life. You've got children watching you. You've got the world watching you. You want to make your family proud, your team proud, your nation proud, and the world proud. And I think that's really important. And we've seen that in almost every case. And, you know, things get heated maybe during a match, but at the end, the players come together. You know, they shake hands. They congratulate each other. You know, they salute the crowd. And that's really important. So, you know, and otherwise, there's always some difficulty worldwide. There's crises and things. But to see the World Cup take place like this, and there's been really no problems in Brazil. There was fear of, you know, manifestations or some things. But it's been a great host country. the teams have been well received, and I think that we've been able to see good play and good role models for our children for sportsmanlike conduct. And so I hope that we all learn something from that.
So I'm going to ask you two hypotheticals, and I'm going to start with the worst one first. So what would it mean to you if Germany lost Sunday?
It would mean that we'd made it all the way to the finals for the first time since 1990, played, I think, just exceptionally well, and then lose in the final after so much is really riding in terms of the national feeling. It would be a letdown in a lot of ways. It would be depressing. I think it would be bad at every level because so many friends and colleagues and business friends and close friends would be just emotionally impacted. So I would feel for them. I would personally be very disappointed. And you know, but even if Germany loses, Argentina is a fantastic team, and they're a world power also in football and a former world champion. So. You know, I think we've also reached the best. So if you do lose, you know you did your best and you reached that pinnacle. And so it should come down to play. Now, I would never want to have a shootout. I hate shootouts. I don't want a nil-nil draw, for example, or a draw. I would want the match to end with a clear winner and goal scored at the end of 90 minutes. Because penalty kick shootouts are bad for my heart. I think everybody else's. And it's a terrible way to end a match. It's so emotionally draining.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone in that. Most people, I think, probably aren't too thrilled with the idea that it comes down to that. But on the other hand, so what? Turning more positive, what would it mean if they win?
We'd have a great reason to celebrate. It would be more, you know, Germany has struggled with national pride, you know, in the whole post-war era because there'd been. It was a difficult time, and for the first time in 2006, when Germany was the host, and a phenomenal host, I must say, for the World Cup. I was there in 05 and 06, the Confederations Cup and then the World Cup. It was the first time I'd seen a real expression of national pride, people with flags and proud to be German, and there's a lot of things to be proud for. I mean, everybody has history. You know, we have it in Alabama, so we should certainly empathize. But I think if Germany won, it would be, again, this ability to say, I'm German and I'm proud. Look at what we've done, look at what we've accomplished, and for them to be able to share that with the rest of the world. So it's a positive, again, beyond just what happens on the field. It's a positive nationally and internationally. And frankly, it's kind of strange. After people speculate and look at different numbers and say sometimes if you're the champion, you end up with an economic boom. People are happier. They spend more. You get a baby boom sometimes, too, 9 months after the Cup. So it's far more than just a sport or just a match on a field of play. It's something of national consequence, just like when you lose. But it would be a big positive and a big bump. And Germany's been economically leading all the recovery in Europe. And I think it would continue. It makes people feel good. It makes you want to, you know, you work, you play. And so it's a positive. And I would like to see Alabama celebrate that victory with Germany if we do win and hope that we also get to be part of that feel good. You know, I mean, it has consequences. I think people in Alabama, because they're used to being winners in sports and it's also very emotional, I think people could easily understand what it means to be, you know, the champion. In this case, it's a world champion. So I think we all benefit from a German win.
Well, great.
At least in a big feel-good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, do you guys have anything special planned for Sunday, like a viewing or anything like that?
I'm probably going to end up going to Iron City in Birmingham. We'll have it's a great event. We're in discussion of whether we have a bunch of friends together and have a big cookout and we all watch together, or if we all go to a place like Iron City or Work Play, or they both have huge screens and food and such, and watch it with another, you know, there'll be big crowds. So I know for sure I'm going to be either with a group of friends in somebody's house, or we go as a group of friends and family to a location to watch, and there's some different things planned. It's so much fun to watch a final, in particular, watch matches with your friends and other people, and you know, I'll wear a German jersey, and I'll be supporting Germany, and you know, it'll be a big event to share together. It's very collective.
Michael Johnson, it's been really, really fun talking to you. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
Well, I'm thrilled with the interest in Alabama, and I'm thrilled with the overall U.S. performance. And you know, let's go. I'll give it a little Deutschland. Let's go. Let's win, and keep on supporting the U.S. national team and the U.S. women's national team as well. After this, that would be great.